Hello. Okay.
Hello. Welcome back to Double Indemnity, the podcast. We discuss movies and new ones specifically, and releases and feelings and thoughts.
Yes. How have you been since the last time?
I've been great. How are you? It's Jonathan's birthday this week. Everybody wish him a happy birthday.
Can't believe I'm turning 52.
What's funny is, like, if someone was listening to this and they haven't seen the video, like, that's a joke because he's turning 23. But that's just funny because I bet you people would totally take that seriously if they don't know what you
that's
look
true
like.
That's really funny.
I don't know, I hope you look like this when you're 53.
Me too.
But then I'm gonna be like an ugly hag.
True.
At that point.
No, okay.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so just a little FYI before we get into the podcast, we're gonna spoil the movie. We're gonna talk about lots of main aspects of the plot, so if you don't want it spoiled, you should definitely go watch it and then come listen to the podcast and we can discuss.
That would be advised.
Yes, that would be advised. Oh, can you check on Letterboxd if anybody left a comment on the podcast while I finish my introduction comments?
Did you get a notification that somebody commented on the
podcast? I don't know. I don't know if I have my notifications on for Letterboxd.
Well.
Yeah.
I probably did.
Uh-huh. Also, while Jonathan is doing that, and since we are talking about Letterboxd, everybody follow us on Letterboxd. Our name is DI_podcast, and we post the movies there a week before we talk about them. If people have comments or things they want to say. So, did anybody say anything?
Nobody said anything.
That's fabulous.
But that's okay.
That's okay. We have plenty to say.
There wasn't any gripes against us either. So, you know, that's nothing bad, nothing good.
Yeah. You know what? That's fine with me. Yeah.
Well, first off, what are you watching?
So, we're doing a new segment that my sister introduced, and it's called What Are We Watching Right Now? I don't think this is an original thing. I think other people have done this before. But I think it's kind of a fun idea.
Yeah,
and she
too.
Thought it would be fun, add a little bit of pizzazz to the podcast. So
I like pizzazz.
As we have said in the name, we're going to talk about what we're watching right now. So we actually have been into a lot recently. So we just finished New Girl TV-wise.
For the second time.
Yeah. Well, we didn't finish it the first time we watched it. But Netflix, like, came up with this ad, like, New Girl's coming off Netflix April 9th. And I know everybody just has, like, a freakout moment whenever they see one of those, like, Netflix is like, it's gone forever, as if you'll never be able to watch it again. And New Girl is just, like, going to Hulu, right?
It's just going to Hulu, yeah. We saw Paint recently.
Yes. I thought Paint was going to be more of, like, an indie film. But it was, in reality, I feel like just, like, famous people who wanted to, like, have a good time and make, like, a random movie.
It was very random. It was very odd. Had some, like, good moments, some dry humor. Owen Wilson was good.
Overall, it was okay, but I thought it was still boring. Like, I was expecting more from it.
Yeah, I think I gave it, like, a 2 out of 5.
Yeah. And then we saw Super Mario Bros.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. I actually thought it was really good. It was really cute. It was sweet. Good story. Interesting. I had a great time. We accidentally saw it in 3D, which is not my vibe, but I still really enjoyed it. Yeah. Usually, it wasn't like the scary 3D where there's, like, arrows being shot at your face. It was just like, oh, there's a cute little toad, you know?
Fireball.
Mm-hmm. And then we watched Brittany Runs a Marathon last night.
Right.
Because I'm running a race pretty soon, and I'm really, like, into all of the like, you know, watch all the YouTube videos about it, listen to the podcasts, and that's one of those feel-good movies that I, like, want to watch every year. My mom raised me that way. Like, my mom has, like, particular movies that she just loves, and, you know, she'll just rewatch them from time to time, and I'm the same way. Like, yeah. I just have those movies I want to watch every year. I just love them. They just make me happy. So that's a cute movie.
Me too.
And then right now we're actually in the middle of watching
She Said,
the new Carey Mulligan movie. Mm-hmm. About Harvey Weinstein. So we can't really have comments on it because we barely started it.
That's true.
But right. That's what's on the, what do you call it, burner right now?
The agenda.
Beans is bumbling. Okay. Jonathan, do you want to tell us what movie we're doing today?
I will get into the movie today. It is Air. Not water or earth or fire. It is Air. Directed by Ben Affleck, who also did Argo, which won Best Picture. Yeah. Live by Night, The Town, and Gone Baby Gone.
Wait, Ben Affleck directed it?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You know
that?
Yeah. No. It stars Matt Damon as Sonny Vaccaro, as, like, a Nike
He's a recruiter for like talent. He's a talent scout for like athletes they want to sponsor.
Mm-hmm. Ben Affleck as Phil Knight, as the CEO of Nike. Jason Bateman as Rob Strausser, as the vice president of marketing.
Yeah.
Viola Davis as Dolores Jordan. And
that's Michael Jordan's mom.
Yes.
Dolores.
Chris Messina as David
Falk. It's not
Falk.
Dolores. It's is it Dolores?
Dolores?
I think it was like
How else would you say that?
I guess it is Dolores. I don't know why. Just when now all of a sudden when you say Dolores, it makes me think of Westworld.
Oh, true.
I think you're right. I think it is Dolores. Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
Chris Messina as David Falk, as Jordan's agent, and Chris Tucker as Howard White. I haven't seen him in a movie in a long time.
Howard White?
No, Chris Tucker.
Who is Chris Tucker?
The guy who played Howard White.
I know, but I don't remember who was Howard White. Okay, so Howard White was the friend he met with that one time.
No, he worked at Nike. He was...
The guy with an office?
Yeah.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
The plot follows the history of shoe salesman Sonny Vaccaro and how he led Nike in its pursuit of the greatest athlete in the history of basketball, Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan. Don't scuff the J's.
Don't scuff the J's.
Isn't that what people say?
Yeah. The budget was like 70 to 90 million, apparently. And they've made 20 million so far. I think that was the first opening weekend.
So that's not really good then?
No, it's pretty good.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know why. For me, it's just like if you don't make your money back on opening weekend, like it's a flop.
Oh, no. Yeah.
That's not true?
No.
Okay. I don't know how it
there
works.
There are some movies like if Avatar, I think it got like 500 million its opening weekend. If it got like 50 million.
That would have been a big deal.
That would have been a big deal. Yeah.
But the expectation was set really high.
Yes. And its budget was a lot higher. It's all relative.
Yeah. True, true. What do you rate it? Or
Air?
Did you have any more?
I give it a 4 out of 5.
I'd give it a 4 out of 5 too.
Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. I did have a couple comments just about the movie in general that I wanted to talk about before we got into talking about the plot.
Okay.
For first things first, I'm the realist. Okay. Isn't that the song? Every time I say something that's slightly pop culture related, I don't believe that
I
actually
know
what I'm talking about. I'm not confident.
I know that.
So the one thing I really wanted to say was there was nothing special about this movie other than the story. Like, yeah, it was well made, but that's an expectation. Like,
yes.
A movie's going to be well made. And yeah, it was good acting, but it had a stacked cast. And like, it was cool set design, I guess. Like, that was cool.
It was good
but,
production
like,
design.
But like, they also chose a really cool time period. So like, it's easy to have a cool set design.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that it wasn't... There wasn't anything super special about it other than the fact that they were telling a really cool story.
It's true.
So I just want to say
that. I would
agree
with that.
Like, they were kind of like just coasting on the fact that it was going to be a good story.
They were coasting on Air.
They were coasting. Okay. Yeah, and I also was very, very surprised because I thought this movie was going to be about Michael Jordan. And it was absolutely not about Michael Jordan. Like,
yeah,
I thought it was going to go into like his career before he got sponsored and then his career after and like what happened with the shoes and everything. But it was completely a story, I guess, about like just them recruiting him and like his mom negotiating and setting standards for his career and everything. But I do think it was interesting that they made an artistic choice that I want to talk about now before we get into it to not show Michael Jordan's face at all.
Yeah.
I thought it was
that plays
really
him.
Smart.
Yeah.
Like there, I feel like there were two main reasons they did that. I feel like first off they did it because then you could really like imagine the story as being true because I would expect the majority of America, the only person they would know from that story, what they look like is Michael Jordan.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Like then you, when you see the rest of the characters, I feel like it's really easy to like make it feel real like that really is Michael Jordan, you know what I mean? If you don't see the face of like a random actor being like taped, it makes it seem like it's a real story and it's not just like actors reenacting something.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know,
I noticed that too.
Yeah,
I thought it was a good directorial decision.
Did I already say this, that I also feel like it's because it tells you the movie's not about Michael Jordan?
No. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, like it's about his mother and the company that like worked so hard to recruit him, which I thought was cool too.
Yeah, I could definitely tell they weren't trying to show his
at his first face. Yeah, because well, they showed him a couple times from like behind, like walking in, and I thought that he was like gonna be revealed at the Nike or something, like once he was wearing the shoes. I thought there was gonna be a big reveal, but instead they literally didn't show him at all. Yeah, which I thought was a great choice.
Me too.
So yeah, also something I learned from doing this podcast is that I cannot spell the name Michael.
You can't spell the name Michael?
I always want to put the E before the A.
Michael!
Now, from taking notes, Michael! From taking notes for the podcast, I have learned how to spell the name Michael, but I really was struggling. Like, there was a lot of, like, red squiggly lines in my notes.
Red squiggly lines?
Yeah.
I always write red squiggly lines in my notes, too.
Yeah. Okay, but I have a lot of things I want to talk about before we get into the plot. Just, like, general things. This is the last thing, okay? This is just me being an idiot who, like, we've already discussed this. I'm extremely, like, not in tune with, like, current pop culture. And the fact that, like, I feel like Air Jordans are, like, extremely popular. Like, I am not an NBA fan. I have heard of Michael Jordan, but only because other people talk about him. And I didn't even know that Air Jordans were Michael Jordan's shoe line probably till I was like 17. But I always knew what Air Jordans were. Like, I always knew they were like super expensive shoes. They were like a collector's item and like you don't scuff the J's. Like, I'd always heard that. So like the shoes literally, like, in a sense, like what the movie kind of like showed later was like they will have a legacy. You know, they literally already have, to the point where like I know that the shoes are like this extremely coveted type of shoe, and I didn't even know they were Michael Jordan shoes, you know, which I thought was interesting. Like, they really already have a legacy.
It's crazy shoes. How popular they, I think not as popular right now, but even like 5 years ago, 10 years ago, huge still.
Oh yeah.
And it started in 1984.
Yeah. It's been around, and it's also traveled from generation to generation, because if you think about it, like, all of the young people right now, we didn't grow up watching Michael Jordan play basketball, you know? Like, he still has a legacy as being the best basketball player amongst a generation that literally never in person or live on TV watched him play basketball. Yeah, that is so cool. Like, the guy is an icon. A legacy. Yeah, he is, like, the face of basketball. Okay, that's my rant, my little mini rant, before Emmy's, we get into talking about the plot.
Welcome back to Emmy's Rants.
Welcome back to my rants. I rant a lot.
I want to say this is the
you have a rant now too.
Epitome of a dad movie. This is a dad movie through and through.
Wait, what is a dad movie? What does that mean?
It's just, it's such a dad movie. I can't explain it any better than that, you know?
I don't know what that means though.
Okay, like an example of a dad movie is like,
this is just funny because it's like the epitome of our relationship is like Jonathan telling me something and I'm like, what does it mean? And then he just repeats it and over again. Like, it's going to make sense if he keeps saying it.
Just understand me without me conveying that to you, please.
Okay, so what's a dad movie? I don't get it.
A dad movie is just like, sometimes it's like feel good sometimes. What? Like Braveheart, that's a dad movie.
Only sometimes, though.
No, that's not what I meant. Like Legends of the Fall, that's a dad movie.
Oh, it is. That's so true.
You don't even know what that movie is.
Yes, I do.
Oh, you have?
It's one about fly fishing, isn't it?
Who's in it?
I don't know. I've never seen it. I just know it's about fly fishing and dads talk about it. Isn't it?
I don't know if I don't think
so. You don't even know what's in Legends of the Fall.
I mean, I know there's salmon fishing in the Yemen. That's a movie.
Okay, never mind. This is a tangent we don't need to go down.
I feel like there's a little fishing in it, but I don't think it's mainly about fly fishing.
Okay, I don't know what Legends of the Fall is.
Anyway, it's a dad movie. This movie is a dad movie. Okay. Because it's just,
well, hopefully everybody else knows what it is, because you did not explain it very well.
It is what it is. That's what it is.
Oh my gosh. Beans is scratching on our screen door if you hear any sounds. Come on, Beans, just go to sleep. Okay. So are you ready to get into the plot now? Or do you have anything else you want to say?
No, yeah, go on. Okay. I'm good.
I'm going to go. Okay, so basically the movie starts out with like an 80s montage, which I mean, normally I think that kind of stuff is overdone. Like I think it's like, oh, cool, you start your movie with a montage, whatever. But like in this case, I kind of liked it because it really set like the mood for the movie, which I guess was the intention. Like it put you into that like 80s mindset of like all of the pop culture from the time mm-hmm. and like what people were into and what was like trending and fashionable at the time. So I kind of liked it and I respected it. And I also thought they did a good job doing it because us being people who were not children of the 80s, I found things like in the montage that I even like recognized.
Mm, me too.
Us being youngins and such. So I thought that was well done. I appreciated it. So something else I want to get into before we get into the movie, I had a couple of like things I wanted to preface about the plot before we got into the plot so that the movie would make a little bit more sense. So one thing that they did throughout the film is they show like different shots of just like text on the screen, and it's like the principles of Nike. And it's like all of their different like things that they live by in the company.
The core values
of the company. Yes. And it was very intense and honestly like kind of seemed like it would be illegal, like the things they had listed on it. So I have the principles here so that we can talk through the principles of Nike just to give everybody an understanding for how this company runs, right? Okay. Our business is change. I don't really know
what does that really mean on a deeper level?
I don't know. I guess like they are initiating change in society with their business. I don't know.
True, beans, but if your business
your toe beans are clicking on the computer screen.
If your business is always changing, how do you do anything?
I don't know. It doesn't make sense. Two, we are on offense all the time.
That sounds exhausting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Three, perfect results count, not a perfect performance. Break the rules. Fight the law. I feel like I have to say it aggressively every time.
It's true.
See, that's where I was like, this kind of seems like you're gonna be okay with doing illegal things. You know what I mean?
Like going through loopholes.
And also, it totally seems like this is their justification for using sweatshops for their production.
I was literally gonna make a joke about that.
Yeah. yes. So number four, this is as much about battle as about business. So they're fighting, I guess. It's a fight.
Business is a battle.
Business is a battle,
I'm
yeah.
A business major.
You could have just said that.
Just happens every business.
Did they
is a
teach
battle.
You that in business?
Every day is a battle. You have no idea.
Every day is
You're
a battle.
You're an engineer, you wouldn't understand.
Number five, assume nothing. Make sure people keep their promises. Push yourselves, push others, stretch the possible.
No.
These almost sound like crappy poetry.
You know, like never assume anything. Do you remember that from like the science, little science shows that they would show you in science class with like the live action? It would say like never
Look,
assume
Jonathan,
anything.
Look, Jonathan, I'm an engineer. I'm an expert on the science subjects.
And it would be like safety. Never assume you can do this. That's just what
never
that reminds
assume
me
you're
of.
Safe. Number six.
Ben Affleck is always around the corner.
Live off the land. Whatever the hell that means.
Live off the land. That's common sense. I totally understand.
Do you live off the land?
Yeah.
How? You don't even recycle.
I still live, though. And the land is still here.
Seven. Your job isn't done until the job is done.
That sounds a little redundant.
I know. I feel like these are, I'm literally, I told you, this sounds like, okay, what is that meme like about that girl who has like really like abstract poetry? I feel like she would write this stuff.
Abstract, what are you talking about?
You know, there's like these memes online of like my wife, what she said in her sleep. Oh. And they're like pretending to be poems from that one girl. Uh-huh. And I feel like that's what these are reminding me of.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Okay, number eight. Dangers, and then it's a list. Okay.
Oh,
bureaucracy,
sub-list.
Personal ambition, energy takers versus energy givers, knowing our weaknesses, and don't get too many things on the platter.
Wait, so knowing your weakness is a danger, or you just have to watch out
I
for
don't
knowing
know.
Your weakness?
I didn't write it.
This seems counterintuitive.
I can't justify it.
I feel like they did not get put that past a focus
group. Number nine. It won't be pretty. I feel like you need to have pretty shoes for people to buy them.
Things aren't pretty. Right, Beans?
Number 10. This is the last one. If we do the right things, we'll make money damn near automatic. Who wrote this? So weird.
It's if you do so wrong weird. Things too, you make damn near on money too.
Yeah, it seems like it. Sweat drops. Okay.
That's all I'm going
to
say.
So I just wanted to give those principles so you could understand like how the company runs and functions. So very aggressively and incoherently is what I would say.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ben Affleck.
Ben, he didn't write the rules though.
I know. It's just a joke because I feel like everybody hates Ben Affleck for no reason.
Well, he cheated on his wife.
Okay. Yeah. Tons of people do. That's a terrible thing to do. But like,
are you justifying it?
No.
Are you going to cheat on me?
I know it sounds like I'm justifying it, but I'm not. It's just like a meme that everybody hates Ben Affleck.
Yeah, but that's because he plays like a douche guy really good. And it's probably because he is one in real life.
He probably is.
But he's married to J-Lo, and J-Lo's great. At least if she's ever done anything controversial, I haven't heard of it. And if she's done bad things, I, you know, understand. Beans stabbing you with her claws.
Beans, you're being really annoying tonight.
I told you should put a blanket on your lap. Whatever. Okay, now let's get into the plot, everybody.
Jesus Christ.
Still haven't gotten into the plot.
2 hours.
Okay. So the movie takes place in 1984.
Wait, can I say something?
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
We had a lot to
Beans has something to say.
Beans, do you have something to say? Okay, so the movie takes place in 1984. So you find out that Nike is about to go bankrupt because they aren't selling enough shoes.
I struggle with that every day.
Shut up. So they have been working to grow their basketball division of sponsoring basketball players, but it's not working. And they hired Sonny, who is Matt Damon, to go scout out NBA draft college grads to sponsor. Okay? That's his job. And so they are struggling to get any top picks from the draft because bigger companies such as Adidas. And Converse are snatching up all the competition. And I will say, I do remember that Converse was like a huge basketball shoe, right? For like a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I have worn Converse in my life, and I am surprised they are an athletic shoe because those things are like walking on cardboard. I swear.
I got to look up what the basketball Converse shoes look like because I really don't know.
No, they are normal Converse, like the high tops. That is what basketball
really?
Converse shoes are. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
There's not. I don't think there's anything special about them. Like, I don't think they're squishy. Have you ever worn Converse? I can't imagine you wearing
them. No, I haven't.
Okay, they're literally like walking on cardboard. Like, they are flat. There is not even like, they didn't even try to put an arch in it.
True, yeah. That's pretty much what it is, yeah.
Well, those are newer ones. I'm talking about the 80s ones. I think the 80s ones are the
80s.
Classic style. Yeah.
Le classico.
What language is that?
Jonathan. That's what shows up.
I guess they were kind of squishy. But see, I always assumed that they were like the...
Oh, so that logo is so much cooler than their new logo.
I know. I don't know. I'm not a huge Converse fan. I used to wear them, but my feet are too big and I look like a clown. If you have big feet, you know, no offense to you if you like Converse, but they don't look good on my big feet. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay, so Sunday. Sunny's under a lot of heat because he hasn't gotten a good sponsor in a while. And the department is basically going to get canceled if they don't get a good draft that year. And so he's like, boys, I want Michael Jordan. I don't want anybody else. And they're like, psh, no chance in hell. Michael Jordan is a big Adidas fan. And he has vocalized that they're the only company he wants to sign with. And he doesn't even want to meet with Nike because he thinks that they are subpar shoes. Didn't know if you'd have any comments or questions.
No, yeah, that's true. yeah, you made it very clear from the beginning. I didn't really know the story like at all. And it was very interesting that he already had an opinion of Nike before like they pitched him. You know what
I mean? And at the beginning, they showed like the market share of basketball shoes. that were worn by Nike, and Nike's was like really low compared to Adidas and Converse. Yeah, yeah, it was pretty bad.
Pretty embarrassing. Uh-huh.
It was so embarrassing.
As a fellow businessman, it was hard to see.
Shush. So you got to keep in mind here that they had a budget for three athletes. They were going to try to like break up a, like $250K for just three athletes to sponsor them. And basically like the budget is like how much they're going to pay them a salary a year, basically to wear their shoes. Mm-hmm. And so they are planning on giving $250K amongst three people, but Adidas and Converse would give $250K just to Michael Jordan. So that's one of the reasons Nike's like, I don't think we can afford him.
Yeah.
Because we'd have to give our whole budget to him.
That's a big risk.
And Sonny's like, let's give him the whole thing. And he wants to design shoes specifically for Michael Jordan. And they show like this cute little thing where he like comes up with this idea to make special shoes just for Michael Jordan. I was going to say MJ, but I'm like, that's Michael Jackson. Yeah, so basically he's trying to get them to put all their eggs in one basket, and it's a very uncertain basket as that, because Michael Jordan, they said, could blow out his knee in a year.
Yeah, literally.
And then they are paying him this money on a contract and all this jazz. That's not good. If it doesn't go well, the basketball division is basically kaputs.
Kaputs.
Yeah. So Sonny is like getting a little obsessed with it, basically, and he wants to go to LA, and he meets with his friend George Raveling, who was a coach for Michael Jordan in the past. So he knows Michael Jordan, and Sonny's trying to get some insight on Michael Jordan and get a good word in. But he's also really good friends with George. So he's like, I'm going to go get lunch with George, see what's up.
Go get lunch with George, you know?
Yeah, as one does.
I love George.
So he asks George to put in a good word for him with Jordan. And then George tells a story, and I feel like they just had to squeeze this in here because it is the hell of a story.
Cool story.
Like they didn't need it at all for the movie. They just wanted to tell a cool story. Yeah. So this guy named George, right, he had actually been like a security guard at what are you doing? Jonathan is all over the place right now.
He's almost buzzed yourself.
Okay, so
sorry.
George had actually been like working security just accidentally. It wasn't intentional. Someone just asked him to go out to the rally for MLK's like biggest speech ever, the I Have a Dream speech, like the most iconic speech ever.
I knew before that.
I've never heard the story before.
I hadn't either, but I was just like, I got a feeling it's the I Have a Dream speech.
Really?
He was talking about MLK.
I didn't think it at all. And so you actually find out, and this is a true story, and I think it's really cool they included it just because I'm like, whoa. So basically at the end of the speech, he goes up to Martin Luther King Jr. and he's like, that was like the best speech I've ever heard. Like, that was amazing. And Martin Luther King Jr. gives him the rough draft, like the copy of the speech, and like puts it in his pocket. And the guy, when he reads it later, realizes that the whole second half of the speech was ad-libbed. That like Martin Luther King Jr.'s like most famous, like I Have a Dream part of the speech, he came up with on the spot, because I guess he had his original speech and he said people were not interested. So he just ad-libbed it, and he literally did one of the most iconic speeches in American history.
That's a power move.
Like, it is one of the most well-known. Like, you learn that speech in school.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just thought it was amazing. Like, that was a cool story ever. And they literally said, like, at the end of the movie, somebody offered to pay him like $3 million for the speech. Mm-hmm. And he declined it. He's like, that is a prized possession of his, you know?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. It's so cool.
That's a really cool story.
Yeah. And I understand why they wanted to add it, even if it had literally no contribution to the movie at all. So now Sonny is extremely desperate. And he starts to truly embody the principles of Nike, as you all know, because we have discussed them. You hopefully are taking notes. There will be a quiz at the end, and you will have to tell me which skills and principles he embodied the most of the Nike company, because it was pretty much all of the reckless, confusing ones. So he goes to visit the Jordan family home, which is like a big no-no.
He goes past the agent, David Falk,
which is a
huge no-no in the sports agent world, apparently.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of notes about the agent. I don't think I read anything about him, actually, but he had a really good role in it. Like, there were some good jokes. Him and Matt Damon's character, like, basically yelled at each other on the phone a bunch, and it was really funny.
Yeah, that actor, Chris Messina, he was probably the best actor in the movie.
You think so?
Yeah, he was such a standout.
He did. I think he did really good. I mean, if you think about it, all of his acting was literally sitting at a desk talking on a phone.
Yelling. And yelling. He's really good at it. He's done it in other
roles.
You're
smiling. He's so good at yelling.
Yes.
Whew. So he basically goes up to the Jordan family home and he tells Dolores, Jordan's mom, that only Nike would give Jordan the attention that he needs, and that he then like predicts all the things that the different people are going to say, like the conversation they're going to have at Adidas and the conversation they're going to have at Converse. And they later show them like at those meetings, and he was like exactly right. And so she, you know, for her, that's like, he knows the business, you know, when he says this, he knows these people so well, he knows how well they function that he can literally predict how they're going to pitch to me. Like, you know, that makes him more trustworthy, you know, like he knows what he's doing. Ooh, Beans is upset about something. So
fun fact.
Ooh.
The guy who played Viola or Dolores'
the
husband.
Guy who played Viola Davis.
She has to be really good at playing Viola Davis. that's her actual husband.
Oh my god, really? Like in real life? Is he an actor?
Yeah, Julius Tenen.
Is he an actor?
He's an actor and producer. Yeah.
Oh my god, I love that so much. Mm-hmm. Their chemistry was fantastic.
It was.
Oh, well, that's amazing. That makes me sad. I love it when couples in real life play couples in movies, because then the chemistry is real, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they didn't really do any, like, love scenes, but the chemistry was there.
They could have.
They could have. And if they did, it would have been great.
It would have been amazing. Swooning.
Would have been on fire. Yeah, so basically, they also, like, had some pretty good jokes at this point in the movie, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do want to say, they had some really good jokes. Like, it was just quirky little funny things that they did.
Good banter.
That I really liked. And
dialogue.
I feel like that was all Jason Bateman.
Yes.
Because those are all kind of Jason Bateman jokes. Or maybe they just all have the same sense of humor. But I thought it was very Jason Bateman-y funny.
So Michael Jordan wore two numbers during his career. 45 and 23. What significance do those numbers have with this movie?
Oh.
The movie was released on 4/5/23.
Oh my god, that's so cool.
I know, right?
Yeah, well, they can't really go for any Oscars because of that, but that's still really cool.
No, you could, technically.
That's awesome.
You still could.
I love that.
I know.
That was a great idea. Sorry, I'm at the yawning phase.
Love this.
No, it's because I'm talking so much, I don't have enough air in my brain. So, despite the waves that were made because Sonny went directly to the family home against what everyone told him to do, the Jordan family agree to set up a meeting with Nike. So everybody's like, whoop, whoop.
We got it.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
So you sound like Mickey Mouse for a second there.
Yeah.
It sounds like Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse.
So they specifically designed a shoe for Jordan, and there's like rules against what colors of shoes can be in the NBA.
So you just like had to be like all white or like
it had to be 50% white or something, 51% white. So that the but I think in real life it's like all the players have to have matching shoes or something.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, like their shoes have to like match. Or something like that, like the color schemes. I don't remember what it was. But basically, they all have to match. And I looked it up, and it actually said online that they never actually paid any fines. Like, he wore the shoes during, like, the preseason games, I think. And I'm not going to lie, the article I read is the worst written article I've ever read in my entire life. I was so confused the whole time. Wow. I don't know why it's that confusing to say if he got fined or not, but I really don't know. But the gist of it was that he never really actually got fined for it because he ended up wearing like a different generation of the shoe or something. But they did get like one letter from the NBA saying he is not allowed to wear those shoes. So like at one point he did wear though what he was supposed to.
It was really funny in the movie though when Jason Bateman was just like, why don't we just pay the fine?
Yeah.
Every game.
And it was really funny because like in the conference room in front of the Jordans is when they told the CEO of the company, because they knew he would say no. So if you say in front of the Jordans, he can't like look bad and be like, I didn't know this. Like, I'm the, oh gosh, Beans. Okay. yeah, he can't look bad in front of everybody. Sorry for that little interlude. Beans was walking on top of my microphone.
Beans has a voice.
Okay. I need to yawn. As I was saying, I think they did a good job making this movie about a person who's still alive, because it's kind of controversial to make a movie about someone that's still alive, because the director can only take so many like artistic, what would you say? Like freedoms. So much artistic freedom with the story, because like audiences are going to believe everything that they see is true if it's about a person that they know is real, you know, yeah. Or at least they're going to assume that a large portion of it's real. And I know that because that's what I do. So, I mean, I'm assuming a lot of this is real. I don't know how much of it is, but I will say that, like, I'm hoping that most of it was. Like, they very respectfully made the movie.
Yes, yes. I got the sense that most of it was realistic. Though Michael Jordan was not directly involved in the film, Ben Affleck consulted him numerous times to get details on how to accurately portray the story.
Yeah, sure. He just wanted to talk to Michael Jordan. He just wanted to be friends with Michael Jordan.
Who wouldn't? According to Affleck, Jordan's only two requests were that Viola Davis play his mother and that his longtime friend Howard White be included in the film. Affleck always wanted to work with Chris Tucker, so he was cast as White, and Tucker was also just friends with White, and so Affleck gave him flexibility for his performance.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that they were like besties for the resties in real life.
Me either.
Okay. So, basically, now that they know the Jordans are coming to have a meeting, they have to prepare their whole pitch, and they spend the whole weekend working at the office. And they do have some funny bits here about the cafeteria. You got to watch it for them because it was funny. I really liked it. So, despite the weekend of planning, when they finally get to the meeting, it is legit so disheveled. Like, it's almost funny how bad the meeting was. Like, none of them seemed like they were on the same page, but they still, like, presented the information that mattered. But it's just so funny to me because it reminds me of, like, every time I did a presentation in college and we were too lazy to organize it or practice it, and it's just a complete shit show.
It's just like
when you get up there,
meltdown.
Nobody's on the same page. Yeah, so I definitely related to it. I thought it was funny how they spent the whole weekend preparing and you were waiting for this great pitch. And, like, you saw all the other people present, like, a very clean-cut pitch.
Yeah, organized.
Yeah. I will say, though, I think they took inspiration, and I highly doubt this is how the meeting really went, but I think they took a lot of inspiration from the Martin Luther King Jr. story where he had a speech and he was losing the audience.
Oh,
and
good.
So he just trashed it and he ad-libbed something, and like in the middle of the presentation, it was a mess and he could tell that like Michael Jordan was like not into it. So he told him, he scrapped it. He told him to stop playing the video. And he was like, he just talked to him like from the heart, man to man. And it was just like, they were trying to reference and like pay an homage to like the Martin Luther King Jr. story.
I didn't even think about that.
So I highly doubt that that's how it really happened. But I think that they were inspired by that story and they wanted to write it that way.
That's really cool.
Yeah. I thought it was cool too. Look at me. I thought of things. But yeah, it was a really good speech. Great acting to Matt. Well done.
Yeah, they also played like a little bit of I don't remember what it's called, but it's a really famous song from Hans Zimmer. Or Journey to the Line. They played like a little bit of that in the background while he was speaking.
You're just trying to flex
song.
That you know like a Hans Zimmer song, like.
No, that's a very famous song. Everybody knows it.
Yeah, but I wouldn't know the name of it.
If you heard it, you'd know it.
Like the national anthem? Or Pomp and Circumstance? Taco Bell's Canon?
I don't know anybody named Pomp.
What about Circumstance?
Yeah, circumstantial.
Okay. So, I will say that the speech was a little bit like, man, like, you guys think this guy is a god.
Yeah, it was pretty dramatic.
Like, they were really inflating his ego. I mean, he was like an 18-year-old. I get it, whatever. He's the best basketball player of all time. Blah, 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 bleep, 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 blue. But, like, wow. This speech was like, no one has ever spoken to me that way in my life, telling me I'm not that special. But I'm not that special, so I guess that's why no one speaks to me like that.
Well, yeah, it's a correlation.
You're not a man of many words.
No, why use many word when few word do trick?
Stop. You're not even using your own words. You're stealing that from somebody else.
Quentin Tarantino, baby.
So you basically, they end the meeting and everybody's on edge because they're nervous if the Jordan family's going to take the deal or not. And they're very nervous.
Couple weeks go by. I don't know how long. It didn't specify.
Mm-hmm. And so basically, finally, Dolores calls Sony. I keep saying, what's wrong with me? I can't say the name Sunny.
Sunny. Sony's the company.
Like with one N. This is Sunny, S-O-N-N-Y. Whatever. So Dolores calls Sunny to tell him that Jordan will sign with Nike under one condition. So everybody's like, whoop, whoop. But then they're nervous. And his one condition is that he gets a percentage of the profits from all the shoe sales, which I think is a completely reasonable thing to ask. Like, if you think about
it,
like,
his
name is the shoe. He is the shoe. That is the whole preface of how they designed it. And then, like, this is his name. This is him selling the shoes. He should get paid for it. Those shoes wouldn't sell without him, you know? And then all of a sudden, like, Sonny flips and he goes from, like, being, like, you can have anything you want to, like, no way, Jose. Like we can't do that. That's not how the industry works. And so he gets off the call with Dolores and he goes and he talks to the CEO, Ben Affleck. And they're like, whatever, F it. Like, just go for it.
Yeah, Ben Affleck's like, just go for it.
Just do it. And then he says that they have never seen a shoe sell more than 3 million before. And he doesn't expect that this will be much different. And then they write on the screen that the first year these shoes are on the market, they sold $164 million worth of it. So yeah, definitely exceeded the 3 million. Yeah, and I think it is the only reason Nike is a successful company. It's all about sponsorships. Same way with Ray-Bans. They were going to go under until they had Tom Cruise wearing them.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't hear about that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Tom Cruise wore them in like Risky Business or something. And that saved the company. Yeah. Right. And then Nikes, I mean, they are built on Michael Jordan, basically. And then they tell you that Michael Jordan now makes $400 million a year of like
royalties
just from the shoe line. He doesn't have to do anything. It's like passive income.
That'd be nice.
What do you even do with that much money is my question. Like, if I even had $400 million for the rest of my life, what would you just put it in a bank account? Do you stuff it in the mattress? Like, what do you do? I don't know.
Gotta be a big mattress.
I'm not a very money savvy person.
Yeah.
But yeah. I agree wholeheartedly though that the athletes should get a share of the shoes. And like, it's just kind of crazy that that deal his mom made resulted in them having a ridiculous amount of money, like a ridiculous amount of money. And he deserves it. And his mom is definitely an angel. And she really cared about her son and she fought for him. And she is the reason he is who he is today. So,
yeah. And they showed
to all the moms out there.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day. It's a little early, but happy Mother's Day.
In other news, Matt Damon wore a fat suit to make him appear overweight.
I know. I was literally thinking that. I was like, did he like put on the weight?
Yeah.
So it's fake?
It's fake, yeah.
Oh. I like it when actors really do it, but then I'm like, you must really ravage your
body. Nobody can ever pull a Christian Bale every time.
How
you know?
Is Christian Bale, like, alive?
Literally.
Oh, my God. We didn't pick the movie for next time.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Keep telling me your fun facts. Keep telling me your fun facts.
So, Peter Moore, played here by Matthew Mayer, the original designer of Air Jordans, the ball with wings logo and the famous silhouette of Michael Jordan jumping. So he died in April 2022, just 3 weeks before the filming began.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know.
He had no idea. And he's like one of the most iconic people for the shoe. He designed it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's his baby. And he designed the like silhouette, which is like the most iconic thing about like Air Jordans.
He left Nike in 1987 to join rivals Adidas, where he stayed until 1998, where he redesigned the Adidas logo to the current version.
No, he did both of them?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
What a legacy.
That guy is an icon designer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, this film is perfectly paced. I will say that. There's not like an ounce of fat on this movie.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What do you mean an ounce of fat?
Like what all is what that is there is necessary for the film.
No, because they didn't need the Martin Luther King Jr. story. They just wanted to tell it because it was such an amazing story. And then they kind of wrapped it into the end too. So yeah, there was a little bit of fat, I would say, you know.
Yeah.
But mostly lean muscle.
Mostly lean muscle.
Okay, so what movie do you want to do next time?
So,
okay, after lots of deliberation, even though for you it's only been like a millisecond
deliberation.
Because I edited it. Deliberation. What is it?
Wait, what is
Did I say the word wrong? Isn't it deliberation?
I think you're right.
I don't know. After thinking about it, we're going to do RRR, the movie that won for best song this year at the Oscars. So, that's what we're going to do. Bye!
Adios.